It is, I think, timely for us that we are celebrating this feast of the body and blood of Christ, Corpus Christi, on the Sunday following Memorial Day. Contrary to popular practice, Memorial Day was not established to be the first informal celebration of the coming of summer. Well, it also wasn't established to be the first opportunity for a summer family travel or for a first family cookout or to celebrate the opening of the pools or for a rib fest and cookouts. Memorial Day was established for a very specific person. The purpose was to remember and to honor the war dead. And so on Memorial Day, although all those other things are happening and people celebrate that, in most communities, there is some kind of a commemoration ceremony, usually at the town or the community cemetery, and always at every veteran cemetery, at every military cemetery, there is a memorial service. And if you have ever gone down to the Veterans Cemetery in Richmond or gone to the Great Cemetery at Arlington, or perhaps even more poignantly gone to the cemetery at Gettysburg or in some place like Normandy on an actual battlefield cemetery, it is a solemn and moving thing to see rows and rows of graves of people who have given their lives for our country. The language that we use for Memorial Day captures it very well. What do we say? We say we honor those who have given the ultimate sacrifice for our country, for our freedom, for us. That's what Memorial Day is really about. And it is good for us to remember. And it is appropriate for us to honor and to reverence that sacrifice. The language that we use for Memorial Day is religious language. And so what we celebrate on Memorial Day is a beautiful metaphor for all of us today, celebrating this feast of the body and blood of Christ, because our scriptures today speak to us of sacrifice. The great saint of the Eucharist, Thomas Aquinas, said it this way: when he took our flesh, he dedicated the whole of its substance to our salvation. Jesus offered his body to God the Father on the altar of the cross as a sacrifice for our reconciliation. Jesus shed his blood for our ransom and purification, so that we might be redeemed from our wretched state of bondage and cleansed from all sin. But to ensure that the memory of so great a gift would abide with us forever, he left his body as food and his blood as drink for the faithful to consume in the form of bread and wine. That paragraph captures what our scriptures say to us today, what we celebrate in this feast. We commemorate the sacrifice of Christ. No greater love is there than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. The ultimate sacrifice is Jesus', as the letter to the Hebrews says, not with the blood of both goats and bulls, but with his own blood, once for all. That's what we commemorate here. Why do we do it day after day, Sunday after Sunday? Because we need to be reminded of the depth and the greatness of God's love for us. We need to renew the covenant with the Lord. In our first reading today, We hear the sprinkling of the blood on the altar representing God, the blood sprinkling the people as the sign and the seal of the covenant. And every year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest went to the temple and sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat, sprinkled the blood on the people as a sign of the mercy of God, of the atonement, the forgiveness of sins. The letter to the Hebrews reminds us once for all. And so Jesus doesn't die and rise again and again at Mass. That happens. But what we are doing is we are renewing our covenant with the Lord. And to come forward to receive the body and blood of Christ is for us to renew that covenant in Christ dying and rising in his body and blood. That's why we call it communion. And all that we can do is to give thanks, and so we call it the Eucharist, our great thanksgiving for the depths of God's love and God's mercy poured out on us all and commemorated every time we gather here at the Lord's table. And all that we can do is to imitate that love of the Lord. So if by receiving the body and blood of Christ, we are then incorporated, we become a member of Christ's own body, then are we not called to imitate, to become what we receive? The body and blood of Christ poured out in love, in service, in mercy, in forgiveness to the members of his body who are in need of experiencing the love and the mercy of God. This, what we celebrate today, is at the very heart of what we believe and what we proclaim. It is why we are Christians. Let us be mindful, as Thomas Aquinas was, of what a wondrous gift we have received. Let us be united together in the Eucharist we share, in the body and blood of Christ that we receive.